This is from the June 10th, 2018 service at Plymouth Presbyterian Church in St. Helens, Oregon. We begin with the hymn, All Things Bright and Beautiful. The scripture reading, 1 Samuel 8, 4 through 22, is read by Gina Harrington and the Reverend David Hutchinson. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, "You are old, and your sons do not follow in your ways. Appoint for us then a king to govern us like other nations." But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to govern us." Samuel prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said to Samuel, "Listen to the voice of the people in all they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them. Just as they have done to me from the day I brought them out of Egypt to this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so also are they doing to you. Now then, listen to their voice. Only you shall solemnly warn them and show them the ways of the king who shall reign over them."
So Samuel reported all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king, and he said this: "These will be the ways of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them to his chariots to be his horsemen and to run before his chariots. He will appoint for himself commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, and some to plow his ground and reap his harvest, and to make his implements of war and equipment for his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. And he will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive orchards and give them to his courtiers. He will take 1/10 of your grain and of your vineyards and give it to his officers and his courtiers. And he will take your male and female slaves and the best of your cattle
and your donkeys, and he will put them to work, and he will take a tenth of your flocks, and you shall be his slaves. And in that day you will cry out because of your king, whom you have chosen for yourselves. But the Lord will not answer you in that day.
But the people refused to listen to the voice of Samuel. They said, "No, we are determined to have a king over us so that we might be also like other nations, and that our king may govern us and go out before us and fight our battles." When Samuel had heard all the words of the people, he repeated them in the ears of the Lord. The Lord said to Samuel, "Listen to their voices and set a king over them." Samuel then said to the people of Israel, "Each of you, return home." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Next is the hymn, "Spirit of God, Descend Upon My Heart." The sermon, "Bad Choices," is delivered by our pastor, the Reverend David Hutchinson.
Well, there must have been some people in ancient Israel who did not want a king, don't you think? I mean, there must have been some. The book of 1 Samuel says, the people clamored for a king, going against the advice of Samuel and against God's intentions for them. Verse 19 says, the people refused to listen. They said, "No, we will have a king." According to God, that was not just a rejection of Samuel's advice. It was a rejection of God. "They've not rejected you, Samuel, they've rejected me," is what God says according to the Old Testament book. But if I know anything at all about people, right? Communities of the people, whether that's nations or families or churches, if I know anything at all about groups of people, it is that not everyone in every group agrees. Anybody want to disagree? See what I mean? I don't agree with that. I know, it's fine. That's how we are. So, if you grant that point, right, not everybody in every group agrees with the majority on everything all the time. It's just how we are. So, there must have been some people in ancient Israel who didn't want a king. And if that's true, and I think it is, that it fascinates me. There must have been at least a few people who wished for another righteous judge. Maybe somebody more like Samuel, who had been a fairly good leader, come on, and led with integrity, kept them safe. Must have been some, but this is not their story. The Old Testament does not tell their story. Instead, this is the story of a people who chose poorly. The story of a people who made bad choices. And to the extent that we've ever had to make a choice, you and I, there's a lot of lessons in this for us. To the extent to which we've ever made a bad choice, this is our story. And to the extent that we've ever wanted to try to make better choices in our lives, there is plenty to learn. God is speaking to us through this word, from this history, for those with ears to hear. So this sermon today is the beginning of a series throughout the summer. This summer, through the months of June, July, and August, the lectionary Bible readings for preaching and worship are from the Old Testament. They recount the Old Testament history in the books of 1 and 2 Samuel. This is the story that begins with Samuel as a judge, leader and prophet. It proceeds through the kind of mediocre leadership of King Saul and through the rise and fall of one considered the very greatest leader in all of the history of Israel, namely King David. So this is Netflix, not your pay-per-view. This is not a one-off. This is a series, right? Takes the next 3 months. But each one, of course, will stand more or less to some degree on its own. But reading through those books of 1 and 2 Samuel is a marvelous thing to do. To think about the background of what leads up to eventually King Jesus, right? I mean, most of us, if you know any of this history, you only know part of it. I mean, even if you've read the Bible before, there's no way you can remember every little bit of this stuff. It's a long story. It's a convoluted, twisting story. And there's a lot to learn from the details of it for our lives today. And so we're going to spend some time with it. How to live in community. How to follow God, what makes us not follow God, and what happens when God's ignored, and what is most important in our relationship with God and with each other. These are just some of the things that we'll consider this summer. And given that Jesus is called King, and is still called King by Christians, but in a somewhat ironic way, right? We don't call him, Jesus is king in an ironic way. You understand that, right? It was true in the Bible, it's true for us. Jesus is not a powerful king of oppressive, violent nature like the kings, right? That's the whole point. Given that Jesus is sometimes called king, this is important perspective. And it frames the whole story. What does it really mean to call Jesus king? And in what way is that ironic and subversive? As a claim. That's why we say it. Thinking about this history changed the way I heard that claim. So we're going to spend some time with that history this summer. This is the story of a people who chose the way of kings. And that was not considered to be a very good choice by Samuel or by God. The choice of the way of kings was considered by God not to be a good choice, according to the Bible, but the people chose it, and God said, okay, let's see what happens. But there must have been some people from the beginning who didn't want a king. But this is not their story. Instead, the Old Testament history, in a nutshell, revolves around the choice of a people that led to corrupt national leadership. That sets up the whole Old Testament. A choice that led to a line of kings that didn't follow God. And in spite of the fact that there were some good kings along the way, or I should say some better kings and some worse kings, the Old Testament story in the Bible essentially is primarily that. That's what the Old Testament's about. It's about a people who sometimes try to follow God, but who also make bad choices. Look at the reading for today, chapter 8, 1 Samuel. God and Samuel both warn the people against choosing the way of kings in no uncertain terms. You heard it, Gina and I read it. The results, they say, would be a disaster, and that's an understatement. And they list all the things that could go wrong. I would say, by the way, you might hold on to that list and keep track of the list throughout the summer just to see if any of that does go wrong. I can give you a hint, though. So the people are warned. And the people say, bring it on anyway. We don't care. We won't listen. Why? Why do the people say that? Because they're afraid. They're afraid. Because they want what everyone else has. Because they want to be safe. And they want to be successful. And they want to be powerful. It's not impossible to sympathize and understand their motives. It's not impossible to sympathize at all. Matter of fact, there's no point in reading the story and feeling superior. God will not speak through that, I don't think. As if none of us would ever consider such a thing. As if none of us has ever made a bad choice. Instead, we could listen up and see if there's a more faithful way to live. Listen to this story about what happens when we make choices out of fear and choices out of greed and choices out of self-interest instead of asking instead first, what would God really want for us and for our world? And there's more. That's just the beginning. Even more than a story about the human proclivity to make bad choices, this is a story of how God is present anyway. This is a story of how God is in the midst of us in spite of ourselves, has been and will be. God was present with the Israelites and stuck with them, and here we are. God's choice was to stay faithful to the people anyway. God's choice was to stick with the people and use the people through thick and thin. Was that a bad choice on God's part? I don't think it was, because look, here we all are. It's great. God's choice was the good choice among bad choices. Because mostly the Old Testament history is more about God than it is about us. This is not about us, it's about God. We always want to make it about us. But it's more about the nature of God. God and how God stays in covenant and stays in relationship and wants to be faithful and have fidelity and hold on to you, to me, to us. And look how it plays out in the bigger story, right? So Samuel is born to Hannah, chapter 3, who for years could not have children. She couldn't. And then she has Samuel. So she dedicates Samuel to serve God, and he's called by God in the middle of the night, 1, 2, 3 times. He finally figures out it's God. Last week, if you were here, that was the text. So Eli fails as a leader, and Samuel rises. And for 20 years, Samuel successfully and faithfully leads the people. Samuel is called the judge in the Old Testament. It's in the ancient tribal form of leadership that came before kingship. The judge settles disputes. The judge guides the tribes. And Samuel keeps Israel safe from the powerful Philistines, who are the villain of the day, at about 1,000 years before Jesus. So if Samuel defeats the Philistines and helps keep them safe, and he's been faithful. Why ask for a king? Samuel, Judges, that seems to have been doing okay. Well, because the people of Israel are afraid. What are they afraid of? What we're all afraid of. They're afraid of the future. They're afraid of the future. They're not just afraid, they're afraid of the future because what they don't really believe in their hearts that God is really going to keep sticking with them. Somehow God's going to change and they're going to be left or something. And so they don't stick with Samuel and they don't stick really with God. And that bad choice sets up all the problems of the future. All the way through the reign of King David and beyond, all the way through the prophets. It's the whole rest of the Old Testament. Get this. That one bad choice, the one we read today, sets up the whole rest of the Old Testament. Nevertheless, primarily, this is a story of God's faithfulness in spite of the unfaithfulness of the people. That's the Old Testament story into which Jesus steps hundreds of years later. And the big question begged by the whole Old Testament is simply, will we be faithful? Will we be faithful now? Now, in spite of God's holding on to us and our wrestling with that in the past, will we be faithful now? In spite of past unfaithfulness, will we be faithful in the future? The future's open. It's always open. We wouldn't say a prayer or confession every week if it wasn't. And you can't change the past. Will we believe in God's faithfulness now, in spite of what happens to challenge us and in spite of fear? That's the question. Will we believe in God's faithfulness to us, whether we're in the majority or the minority? Will we, the people, insist on leadership that honors God in the future? Will we, the people, try to live in ways that honor God? That's the question of the Old Testament. It's been the question for eons. And it's still the question. Because there must have been some people in ancient Israel who didn't want a king. There just must have been. Who rejected the way of kings. And even though this is not their story, they inspire me. Imagining them inspires me. It inspires me to think differently about the future. Some of them probably even made horrible mistakes and bad choices on other things, right? Nobody's perfect. But still, on this one big thing, they kept on believing. At least some of them must have. They kept on believing in God's faithfulness. In spite of the corruption of the later kings, some people, a remnant, held on to this idea of covenant living in relationship, in covenant with God and each other. Because here we all still are, trying to do it, trying to figure out how to live faithful lives now. And I think really the issue comes down to this. It is not this. The issue is not figuring out how never to make a bad choice. It's not going to happen, folks. You will make another bad choice, I promise. I will too. I've done it before. I'll do it again. Instead, that's not the issue. Here's the issue. The issue is, and there is an issue, so you're not off the hook. There's an issue. The issue is, what are you going to do now? The issue is what you do next. That is the issue. What do you do after you make a bad choice? That defines you. That defines your identity. That is what really makes you who you are. That's what faith is about. After you make a bad choice. As a people who live in the long tradition of making bad choices, when you do, what do you do next? What do you do then? Do you cling to some old bad choice, or do you cling to God? And I think part of the problem is we all want things. You know, we want stuff. And we think what we want somehow is always the best or most important thing. Anybody still with me? Know what I'm talking about? Yes? So we choose what we want. I mean, why not choose what you want? Well, what does God want? ask the question, what does God want? And what would other people want? As we consider that, I will end today, to be continued, but for today, with a poem by Rumi called, Who Makes These Changes? Who makes these changes? I shoot an arrow right and it lands left. I ride off after a deer, I find myself chased by a hog. And I plot to get what I want, and I end up in prison. I dig pits to trap others, and I fall in. I should be suspicious of what I want.
Next is the hymn, God of Our Life. Next is the hymn, Where Across the Crowded Ways of Life.
Thank you.
We close with a benediction and the hymn, Go With God.
And so as we go from here, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the amazing, 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 amazing love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit go with you. Go in peace.